You are listening to WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. And this is the Motherland Influence, coming to you every Sunday, 5 to 7 p.m. with African, Latin, and Caribbean sounds. You just heard some great Caribbean sounds there. And this is Greybeard coming up with the next half hour of the Motherland Influence. Hopefully I have on the line Dr. Amur Johnson. He'll be speaking at a symposium as part of the Juneteenth celebrations here in Richmond, Virginia. And I'll give you more information on the location. I've got to scroll down to that. But that's going to be on June 20th. And he's a doctor of clinical psychology and certified school psychologist. Are you on the line, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today, sir?
Good afternoon.
Thank you for calling very much. Can you give us some more information about yourself?
Yes. Well, as you said, I'm a doctor of clinical psychology, and I'm a school psychologist. I'm in private practice. I evaluate children, and I determine who goes into special education. No child goes into special ed unless they've been evaluated properly by a school psychologist. I happen to be one of the only African-American male school psychologists in the United States. And so it's my job, I would say, more accurately, to protect and prevent our boys from being put in special ed. Too many African-American children, boys in particular, are thrown in special ed jail, as I like to call it, because they never get out. They lock them up in those classes and throw away the key, figuratively speaking, which leads to an entire life of going in and out of jail. Special ed is the first step to a life of mass incarceration.
I understand. I'm sorry to be feeding back here. And that's what you'll be speaking about on the 20th. By the way, this is going to be at Pine Camp Arts Center. That's 4901 Old Brook Road from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Friday, June the 20th. And this will be some of the things you'll be speaking about.
Yes, indeed. That will be the most important thing, because I consider the education of our children, as well as other issues that affect them, to be the primary issue in the conditions that affect us as a people. So that will be the foundation, but we will also deal with the political and economic crises that's affecting African people. We are celebrating, or should I say remembering, 149 years since the end of slavery, the 13th Amendment, the conclusion of the Civil War. This is also the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Bill, as well as the 60th anniversary of the Brown versus Board of Education school desegregation decision, as well as the 100th anniversary of the Universal Negro Improvement Association, the movement started by the right excellent Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. So this summer we're celebrating four cataclysmic anniversaries in our history. So we'll be dealing with all four of them and how they cross-sect with one another.
I want to thank you for coming and speaking about that, and hopefully people are listening and they will come to this event. What are some of your beginnings? How did you get into this your studies, or what you do? How did that come about?
One thing real quick for the listeners, I just want to give them my website, Dr. Umar Johnson School.com, D-R-U-M-A-R Johnson School.com. Since I was a child, I decided I wanted to be a clinical psychologist. That was a decision I made early in the elementary school years, and I never left that. However, after coming out of undergrad, I was advised that I should get my school psychology certification so that I could be of use to black boys who were being placed in special ed unnecessarily and illegally. So school psychology was something I knew very little about. I knew very little about special ed because I was a straight-A student coming up, so I had no need for special ed. But once I got into that field of school psychology, I would say I found my life's calling, and that was to help fight and protect our boys from special ed abuse, ADHD abuse, psychiatric medication abuse. And so, you know, I find my work more as a school psychologist than I do as a clinician. And to that end, I'm also author of a new book, Psychoacademic Holocaust, The Special Education and ADHD Wars Against Black Boys, which is the first book ever written by a black school psychologist that teaches black parents how to fight back against special ed and ADHD, and that will also be available on Friday at the event as well.
You know, I've been hearing ADHD a lot more lately, and it just seems to be a sudden rise with that so-called syndrome. something I didn't notice when I was growing up, although I would consider myself, I had a short attention span. I mean, when I focused, but it, you know, I had to work at it. Fortunately, I was, you know, able to deal with it. But I did have some other friends who had that problem too. I wouldn't have considered them a prospect for special ed. It's just, they just needed to work on, I guess, being able to focus. But, you know, they were considered special ed type students. What's with the rise in that?
Well, the ADHD as a formal diagnosis came to us in 1980. ADD, attention deficit disorder, came to us in 1980. It was replaced with ADHD in 1990. The reason for the replacement was that the drug company in Wall Street, all of which are publicly traded, they were losing money on ADD diagnosis because there's no drug that can make your child pay attention.
Right.
And so what they did was they influenced the American Psychiatric Association to replace attention deficit disorder with the new attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. By including the word hyperactive in the diagnosis, you can then legally justify prescribing medicine to any child who's diagnosed with the condition. And it's no coincidence that you get ADD and ADHD between 1980 and 1990, because that's exactly when the United States government intensified its mass incarceration campaign against black men, the fathers. So basically, the government locked the fathers up. The boys are left without any father figure, role model, someone who can give them the masculine energy that they need. They go to school being hyper and inattentive, not because they got a psychiatric problem, but they have a need for a man in their life. But instead of giving them their father, they just give them the drugs.
Right.
So ADHD is the outgrowth. It is one of the side effects or symptoms of the mass incarceration of black fathers, which is why I refer to ADHD as ain't no daddy at home disorder,
okay.
ADHD.
All right. Yeah, that was my thought exactly as far as the drug thing. I was pretty sure the drug companies had a lot to do with that, and they have a lot to do with a lot of things, unfortunately. So what do we do about that?
Well, the solution. There's an intervention, and then there's a solution. Solutions fix problems for good. If something is a solution, that means if you implement it, you don't have to worry about that problem anymore. If you implement a particular strategy and it doesn't eliminate the problem but makes it easier to deal with, that would be called an intervention or a band-aid. So the intervention would be for us to organize parents to fight back against the miseducation machine. And one of the things I'll be doing in Richmond is signing up our parents for the Richmond Independent Black Parents Association, which will be comprised of 7 committees: special ed, discipline, school finance, school policy, social committee, parent advocacy, and homeschooling. Those will be the 7 committees that parents will be able to sign up for on Friday. But that's just an intervention, because
right.
You can't force white teachers to properly educate black boys.
Right.
It will never happen. The solution is to build our own schools. And to that end, I'm actually in the middle of a fundraiser now to try to purchase the historically black college, St. Paul's, in Lawrenceville, Virginia.
Okay, so
we have until August the 21st to raise $5 million and turn that into the Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey Residential Academy for Black Boys. So we're in the middle of that campaign right now.
That's great. And will that info be on your website?
Yes, drumarjohnsonschool.com, drumarjohnsonschool.com. And, of course, my personal website is drumarjohnsonschool.com. And they can also reach me by telephone, 215-989-9858.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We have Janine Bell here, the organizer of the Juneteenth event here in Richmond. Anything you want to say?
Well, I'm just really happy Dr. Umar is on the phone with us, and more importantly, that he's going to be here on Friday, because the things that he talks about, the wisdom that he brings to the conversation as a young man, is hugely important to building community, to strengthening families, to helping us to reconnect with our clarity. And that's really why we present this event anyway, the Alegba Folklore Society Juneteenth, a freedom celebration. You know, as Juneteenth is a national holiday in Texas, it's sort of a big party that people have and parades and so forth. But here, we think that it's more important to observe and to commemorate. You know, there are at least two things to be said about history. Know where you've come from to know where you're going. That's the clarity part. And as Alegba is the Yoruba Orisha who brings clarity out of confusion, the other thing to be said about history is, or one other thing to be said about it, is know your history lest you're doomed to repeat it. And so that's the confusion part that we want, that we're happy that Dr. Umar is going to come and help us clear up.
Okay, and once again, that's going to be at Pine Camp Arts Center, 4901 Old Brook Road, from 6 to 10 p.m. Friday, June the 20th, with Dr. Umar Johnson as the keynote speaker. And I want to thank you very much for participating and calling in today and giving us the information. And I'll put your website information on our blog also. People will be able to look that up. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, my brother. Peace and blessings.
All right, and we also have in the studio Gerard Anfody. If I can give you a mic over there, I hope that, yeah, that one. Just if it comes out, or just take the whole thing.
Just comes out. All right.
It should come out of there.
Beautiful.
How are you doing today?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for having me here today.
If you don't know Gerard Anfody, he's a great musician, vocalist, based here in Richmond. And hopefully you've had the pleasure of seeing him, but if you haven't, you can. How can we see him?
Well, he's a pretty suave guy, I have to tell you that. And also, he's on point with the Virginia Black Music Foundation. And we are happy at the Alegba Folklore Society to be collaborating with his organization and his organization with us to present this event, Juneteenth 2014, a Freedom Celebration. And so folks are going to see you at the kickoff on Thursday.
Absolutely, absolutely. Though I will be there, you know, to support, you know, on all days. On Thursday, June 19th, I will be hosting the Juneteenth 2014 Freedom Celebration kickoff featuring Lyra, an incredible artist coming all the way from South Africa. This is her first major U.S. tour, her first U.S. album. And, you know, we at the Virginia Black Music Foundation, you know, our purpose is to just, you know, promote music that is derived from our culture, you know, and generally when we're talking about that, we're talking about African-American experiences. But when you look at someone like Lyra, who is a soul artist coming from Africa, we see that our musical creativity just expands globally. You know, it goes across the ocean and our influence is felt worldwide. So for her to be influenced by soul music coming from the States and then coming from her country to bring that back over here, I think is pretty momentous. And to do that alongside Alegba Folklore Society is just a phenomenal opportunity for us.
Yeah, that's something I've noticed about music, American music and African music. It's been going back and forth to soul. Mm-hmm. Like in the 70s, a lot of funk bands are really picking up African rhythms and putting them in their music, you know. And guys like Mata Dibango, mm-hmm. you know, was doing that, bringing the African sounds and the soul music here. Because they listen to our music, we listen to their music, and everybody's mixing it up and bringing some beautiful sounds.
You know, that's one of the keys to the diaspora, I think. That's one of the connecting threads, that expression mm-hmm. through music. And it is a connecting thread. It is an interwoven expression that starts, obviously, in the motherland, but that weaves itself in and through and around the world and comes back in so many ways that we all recognize, even if we've never heard it. I think that when people come out to see Lyra mm-hmm. this Thursday and meet her, that immediately there'll be a relationship.
That's right. That's right. It's the language of rhythm, you know, so when those drums are beating and that bass is moving, it's like we're all, you know, we're all speaking the same in right. those moments. You know, we're all feeling those same grooves. And that's why it's called soul music anyway, you know, because it's coming from the soul. It's the soul speaking. It's the spirit speaking. That's what creativity is.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to be at the Speakeasy, which is a great venue.
Absolutely.
For intimacy in the music, for the opportunity for people to come together and share and, you know, kind of process what's going on. I think that's one of the things that happens at Gerard's First Saturday Social. Did I get the words
yeah,
in the right order?
Saturday Soul Social.
Okay,
yeah,
all right, all definitely. Right. I was close. Anyway, yeah, right. If I had said it, people would know where to go and where to be.
That's right.
And also at the Society's events is that it creates a forum for interchange
mm-hmm.
that starts at the event and carries on further as well. So I think that's what people are going to see that night. People will be talking about Lyra walking in the door to hear Dr. Johnson. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just a huge weekend. So the speakeasy at the Hippodrome in historic Jackson Ward, I think, is a great venue for folks to come out on Thursday. We start at 7 o'clock.
Start at 7 o'clock,
yes. We'll be there all night.
Yeah. We'll try not to be there too late because we know that you got to go to work on Friday. But, you know, it's definitely going to be a good time. You know, the Hippodrome, you know, with the Speakeasy Lounge in and of itself has its own history, you know, with African-Americans and just progressive movements in this in Virginia. So just to have an artist like Lyra coming to that venue, which has its own history, for an event like Juneteenth, which has its own historical significance, along with the fact that she's from South Africa and grew up in the apartheid era,
mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm.
has its own significance. Mm-hmm. There are many different things that are being tied together, and the music is going to be wonderful. The vibe is going to be wonderful. We're going to be blending, you know, music and culture. It's just going to be fantastic, and I will be hosting that. So it's going to be at 526 North 2nd Street. That is the Speakeasy Lounge inside the historic Hippodrome. You can actually go on to the Elegba Folklore Society website, efsinc.org, and find out more information about getting tickets as well, not just for the Thursday event, but also for Friday as well. So make it a whole weekend. The burial ground on Saturday. Manchester Dock on Saturday. Burial ground
point.
On Sunday.
Yes. And so I think that's, you know, this event, Juneteenth, is like an Independence Day for African people in America, even though it wasn't one that we sought directly ourselves. Mm-hmm. Our activity and our thought processes and our purpose helped it evolve. And so it represents when the last Africans were freed from the Emancipation Proclamation, or via the Emancipation Proclamation in Texas, where cotton was king. So we're talking about economics. And so that was on or about June 19th, 1865. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about going and having Lyra come and looking at the comparisons in history and sociology, another one of those diasporic threads, and have Dr. Johnson help us to analyze what's happened, we also return to our roots. And so the Juneteenth Freedom Celebration is going to come together with the a shoe festival. Now, in the Yoruba cosmology, and the Yoruba people are, of course, in parts of Nigeria, Benin, and Togo in West Africa, a shoe is the sort of parent, if you will, of Elegba. Elegba is one of the paths of a shoe, Eshu Elegbara. So we get our name from that thought and spirit process. And so the Eshu Festival that is presented by the Ifa Temple in Baltimore are also collaborating with us for Juneteenth, the Freedom Celebration.
Okay, and I think we have someone on the line from the temple, I believe.
Yes, the Babalawo from the temple, and the presiding Babalawo for this event, Prince Ifolade Awosemo, is on the phone, I hope.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yes, do you hear us?
Yeah, I'm on. I was just listening to everything, and it sounds wonderful, and I just wanted to just echo a couple of things that you were saying. I think this particular festival and bringing it together, Eshu, this concept of opening the way, the spirit of...
I can't hear anything, so you have to talk.
To move move together to move in a healthier mindset. And so that's what this practice is all about in a sense. So what I want to just say to people who may be a little unfamiliar or a little bit shy or a little bit concerned about, well, what's this spiritual thing? This is really a part of what we've always been about here in America, is about here trying to express ourselves and trying to find our way back to the motherland. Hello.
Princey Holiday.
Yes.
So what can people hope to feel and reconnect with as we participate together in Richmond, Virginia through the Eshoo Festival?
Well, I think the first thing that you feel is the power of just connecting to your, you know, to the ancestors. This experience of us being able to walk the path that our ancestors once walked, they suffered, and then to be able to acknowledge that, I think is very powerful in itself.
So people will be able to venerate their ancestors. Will they be able to sing or dance or share feelings?
It's the singing, the dancing, the drumming, the expression, the upliftment, the ability to just acknowledge this experience. I mean, I was just earlier today just watching something about the Jewish Holocaust and the experience of people remembering that. And I think this festival, in particular, gives us an opportunity to remember that and to start the healing process.
Yes, that's the thing. And, you know, that's really, I think, at the epicenter of the idea behind Juneteenth, a freedom celebration, rather than being a big festival, again, being more of a commemoration, because healing is so essential to where we are. And a part of that healing, of course, evolves from new understanding about our evolution, socially, about our evolution culturally, about our evolution historically. So there'll be opportunities throughout the weekend through music and or dance, and also through conversations for people to come to these places together. I'm just really excited about it. We'll also have opportunities for people to eat some food in reflection. Well, at the symposium on Friday, we'll have some food. Of course, the speakeasy will have some food at the concert on Thursday. We'll have some food and reflection at the Manchester Dock, which was a point of entry for Africans to be enslaved in Richmond, in Virginia, and sold down the river further point south for 100 years. And then on Sunday as well at the African Burial Ground at the festival. So we just invite people to come out and just enjoy, learn new things, and lighten their hearts. What do you think, Gerard?
Absolutely. You know, I was listening to you speak just now, and you know, you spoke about the, you know, evolution or continuous evolution of our people and the healing process. And I was thinking about, you know, Thursday, Lyra's album is actually called Rise Again. And Rise Again, you know, and I don't know what her interpretation of that is, but for me, that's exactly what you just said, you know, continuous evolution, continuous growth. So that's what we'll be celebrating this entire weekend, is rising again and again.
Thursday through Sunday, and we're so happy that WRIR is working together with us to help get the word out, to be out there and play some of this good music from
that's
the
right.
Motherland Influence and Ambiance Congo. It's just going
to
be a great
DJ
weekend.
DJ Gray Beard.
Yes,
in
indeed.
The building.
All right, well, thank you, everybody, for coming in. Thank you, sir, for calling in. We appreciate that very much, and it'd be great to see you. And thank you, and you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're just speaking about Lyra's new CD, Rise Again. We're going to hear a tune called, hopefully I pronounce this correctly, Zesha. from Rise Again, Lyra.
All right, you're listening to The Motherland Influence. My name is Dowdy. I'm back again. with more music, you know, coming up in the next couple of weeks, starting, I believe, the weekend of the 26th up in D.C. on the Mall. There will be the Smithsonian Folklife Festival featuring the musics of the cultures of both China and Kenya. I'm really excited about the Kenyan. So I'm going to play some songs from some of the artists that will be performing there. Starting off with the guy who's actually going to close the festival, but someone that we know here in Richmond because he played at the Folklife Festival here once and just did a bang-up job. Samba Mapangala from his CD, Maisha ni Mitamu. We're going to hear the track off of this one called Zanzibar. Then we'll hear some Kenge Kenge. I'm excited about seeing them in D.C.
Stajabu ya Musa ndugu yangu Utayaona pia na yake Firauni Nilipokea simu ghafla bingu Nikamwonesa mama pangala kule Nairobi Akaniambia awilo ndugu yangu Twende zetu Zanzibari kule kwenye marashi Watu wa Zanzibar ni wakarimu Tena ni wangwana sana wacha ni waeleze Watu wa Zanzibar roho safi Tena ni wangwana sana wacha ni waeleze Wana vitu vya thamani nyingi sana Kama vile ushanga na mapishi mazuri Zanzibar
Zanzibar Zanzibar Zanzibar Nitarudi Zanzibar
Nitarudi Zanzibar Nitarudi Ugunja
Zanzibar Zanzibar
Tanzania
Zanzibar Nitarudi Zanzibar
Vietnam. Omolo cha chuodo omolo wanyanga mara. Emano yugi. Imose no diambo tuli. Emasaini. Wamundo mo. Swamu kinja ura wendo. Emano soja kweno. Osiapu meno wacho kelo. Ramogi FM.
WRIR features American classical music, jazz, every Sunday at 11 a.m., from solo piano to big bands, from Latin to classical standards, and everything in between. They're all here on Bebop and Beyond with Mr. Jazz, Sundays at 11 a.m., right here on WRIR FM, 97.3 on your dial, and on the web at www.wrir.org.
And you're listening to the Motherland Influence on WRIR. My name is Dowdy. I'm here with Greybeard every week, bringing you 2 hours of African, Latin, and Caribbean sounds. Did you know that there are about 20 farmers markets each week in Richmond and surrounding counties? That means there's a place near your home or work where you can touch the hand that grows your food. You don't need to use much gas to gather naturally raised meats, fresh vegetables, and fruits, crafts, cheeses, and prepared foods, all while supporting your local community. Maybe you can even bicycle there. For more information, you can visit vdacs.virginia.gov/VAGrown and click on Farmers Markets. All right. That was Kenge Kenge, a group that's been bringing up the Nyatiti music that is responsible for modern benga in Kenya, and that wonderful one-stringed fiddle called Rutu. I really like that music. It's Kenge Kenge. They'll be appearing up in D.C. as part of the Folklife Festival. I'm looking forward to that. Before that, Samba Mapangala and Orchestra Virunga will also be there. And let's hear some music now from another group that has been taking the traditional music of their country and modernizing it, and that is Son Palenque, the sons group of young musicians from San Basilio de Palenque, who moved to Cartagena and began modernizing the sounds of the African sounds of Colombia in the big picos there. Let's hear a song called La Arepa Asa from the new CD called Son Palenque, Afro-Colombian Sound Modernizers.
Ya la vale. Oye mi cantar. cantar.
Soy Siboney, Siboney, Indiana.
Oye mi cantar.
Soy Siboney, Siboney, Indiana.
Oye mi cantar.
Óyelo bien para gozar mi buena.
Oye mi cantar.
Soy Siboney, Siboney, Indiana.
Oye mi cantar. 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 Oye mi cantar.
Dexter Johnson, Nigerian saxophonist, along with Les Superstars de Dakar from, of course, from Dakar, Senegal, from a CD just put out on the Taranga beat, Live a la Toile, some recordings made in the, believe, this 1970s at the Etoile Club in Dakar. We heard the song called Soy Hijo del Siboney. So, talking about fathers and sons, today's Father's Day, so we're going to end up our show to this evening with a song from Toumani and Sidiki Djabate from Mali to father and son choral players from a CD called Toumani and Sidiki. We're going to hear the song called Hamadoun Touré. See you again next week.